Welcome to the Bible Truth Podcast with Ron and Tim Reynolds, pastors and Bible teachers. Pastor Ron and Pastor Tim combine for more than 70 years of teaching and preaching God's Word. Listen now as they share the eternal truths of the Bible.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Tim Reynolds with Bible Truth for Living. Thank you for listening today. We'll be in Exodus chapter 12 in just a moment. Let me remind you about a couple of things coming up. First of all, in May, on May the 12th, a Sunday, we will be honoring all of our mothers. It's Mother's Day, so really all of the ladies are going to receive something special. We want to honor all of the ladies in our lives. We'll do that at 10 o'clock at Mount Vernon Baptist Temple and 11:15 at Waltonville Community Church. And then on Sunday, May the 19th, the following week, we're going to have a day to stand with Israel. I'll be preaching on some recent things going on in Israel. We're going to look at the history, the past, present, and future, why these things are important, why it's important for us to stand with Israel, not because they are always politically right, but because they are God's chosen earthly people. And we'll be sharing some things on that. We'll have something special for everyone in attendance. And then my good friend, Pastor Rodney Malott, will come that evening, 6 o'clock on May the 19th at Mount Vernon Baptist Temple, and he is going to share some things regarding Israel as well. And so we invite you to those two events. And then remember, we have a prayer walk in the park coming up on Saturday, June the 22nd. That's still a little ways away, but we're going to keep reminding you of that. We're going to meet at 10 o'clock in the morning and have a prayer list available and encourage everyone in the community to come out, walk the perimeter of the Mount Vernon City Park, and pray for our city, our county, our country, our churches, and get some physical exercise as well as get some praying done as well. You can come as an individual, come as a church group, come as a family, however you want to do it, and we hope you can attend that as well. Today, I'm going to preach on the Passover lamb. I'm reading from Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. God says to Moses, "Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Well, we are all aware that the state of Israel has been in the news, especially in recent months. One of its holiest and longest observed holidays has taken place this past week, and that is the Feast of Passover. Now, part of the Passover celebration is the Passover meal. It's called the Passover Seder, and it consists of several elements, including roasted lamb. Now, the Passover holiday was instituted by God as part of the final plague of Egypt. Remember, the Hebrews were enslaved in Egypt for over 400 years. Moses says to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And you had all those different plagues. There were 10 of them total. You get to the last plague of the death of the firstborn, and God gives instructions. If you don't want your firstborn to die, you need to follow these instructions. And he called it the Passover. Here's why. It's taken from verse 13. God says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." That's a song that we sing in church. "And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Everything about the Passover revolves around the Passover lamb. If you don't have a lamb, you don't have a Passover. So what I want to do today is draw our attention to the Passover lamb in Exodus and its significance to us today. Let's look first of all at the Passover lamb in the book of Exodus. First of all, notice it was to be a sufficient lamb. Now, God says in verses 3 and 4, I want you to get a lamb. It'll be a lamb for every man and a lamb for every house. And if a household is too little, you share it with your neighbor. So every man takes part in this lamb. There was to be sufficient lamb, that is, enough lamb for every man and every household to eat and to be filled. They didn't have to skimp. They didn't have to scrape something together. There was enough. There was sufficient for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. It was to be a sufficient lamb. Number two, it was to be a spotless lamb. God says in verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. Now, not just any lamb from the fold would do. They were to go out. They were to take their time and to find a lamb that had no scab, no scar, no wound, no extra part, no missing part. It had to be a perfect, spotless lamb. Number three, it was going to be a slain lamb. In verse 6, the Bible says, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. Now, let me explain what's going on here. He says, take the lamb on day 10 and keep it up until day 14. What does that mean, keep it up? It means the lamb would be taken into the house. It would be examined for 4 days. It would be accepted into the family. And during that time, the family would grow close to the lamb. But something had to happen on day 14. He says, all the congregation is going to get together and kill it. Now, can you imagine the heartache? You say you had a family with some children. You probably have had a family pet, and we get close to our pets, and for 4 days they snuggle with the lamb, and they take of the lamb, and it becomes part of the family. And then God says you're going to have to slay, you're going to have to kill this lamb. And the bad thing about it, you know, is that they had to do this themselves. How difficult it would be to slay a lamb that you had gotten close to. But that's what God said that they had to do. Number four, it was going to be a saving lamb. God says, now when you slay the lamb in the evening, then you shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses where it's going to be eaten. It was the blood of the slain lamb that would save them from the destroying angel that was going to come for all the firstborn. Every person who was in the house where the blood was put on the post was to stay in the house, and they would be protected by the blood. You read that in verses 22 and 23. God said, you shall take a bunch of hyssop, which is be some plants, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. They were to stay put. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer or permit the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. They had to follow instructions, and if they followed the instructions, they would be saved by the blood of the lamb. Number five, it was to be a shared lamb. God continues and tells them in verse 8, you're to eat of the flesh in that night, roast with fire. Now, fire always represents the judgment or the wrath of God. The wrath of God is being shown on this little lamb as it is roast with fire. He says, and you're to eat it with unleavened bread. Now, leaven is a bacteria. It's a contaminant. And leaven always represents sin in your Bible. And so taking it with unleavened bread shows us they were removing the sin from the presence here of the roast lamb. So you have a lamb roast with fire, representing God's judgment. You have unleavened bread, representing the absence of sin. And then God says you eat it with bitter herbs. Now, bitter herbs represents the consequences of sin and our repentance of sin. All right. Sin has a bad taste to it. Now, Satan wants you to think that sin is good. And, you know, the Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a season. But in the end, it brings nothing but bitterness and heartache. And that's what the bitter herbs represent. God also says, this is rather interesting, verse 9, he says, don't sodden it with water. Don't water down the lamb. You take it just like it is. Don't boil it. Don't water it down. You just eat it like I tell you. You roast it. And he says, let nothing of it remain until the morning. So don't water down the lamb. And don't waste the lamb. These were the instructions regarding the Passover lamb. And then the sixth thing is that it would be a sustaining lamb. In verse 8, God says, now here's how I want you to eat it. With your loins girded, that would be, you know, in those days and still in that area of the world, they wear an outer robe, and if you're going to go somewhere, especially quickly, you take a sort of belt and cinch up that robe, much like we would put a belt on a pair of pants. He says your loins girded and your shoes on your feet. You're going somewhere here, and your staff in your hand. So you'll be ready to eat, and then it's going to sustain you because you're going to have a journey ahead of you. They were going to eat and run. They would be leaving Egypt. Egypt represents the world. They were leaving the next day. They would be chased by Pharaoh and his army. And this lamb and this meal would give them the energy they needed to sustain them on their journey. Now, you say, Pastor Tim, that's all a wonderful story. Good for them. That's good to know. But I want you to know there's something more to it than that. Because not only is the Passover about the lamb in Exodus chapter 12, but the Passover has everything to do with your Bible, with salvation, and especially with Jesus Christ, who is our Passover lamb. Now let's look at this in the New Testament. First of all, we see that Jesus is our sufficient lamb. John chapter 1 and verse 29, the Bible tells us about John the Baptist beginning to preach. And he tells the people when he sees Jesus, he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus is the sufficient lamb. In other words, he has enough power in his blood that is sufficient to save the entire world. But here's the problem. Not everyone in the world accepts him. You see, Jesus' sacrifice is sufficient to save all, but is only efficient for those who receive him. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us this, but it's very possible that when the people heard these instructions, there may have been some who said, that sounds ridiculous. You mean I have to kill a lamb and put its blood on the post and that will save me? I just don't believe that. There probably were people like that. Well, if that's what happened, they did not follow the Passover instructions and they perished. All right. The death angel came and killed the firstborn. You see, you have to follow the instructions. The Bible says that that preaching is foolishness to the world, the foolishness of preaching, but it's the power of salvation to those who believe. We know that the way to God is the gospel. It is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Some people hear that a man went to a cross 2,000 years ago and was crucified and shed his blood, and that's how I go to heaven? That sounds ridiculous. Well, it may sound ridiculous, but that's the only way to salvation, all right? Because it's the sufficiency of Christ. It's what he did for us. And so even though salvation is sufficient for all, it's only efficient for those who accept God's way to him. So Jesus is our sufficient lamb. Number two, Jesus Christ is our spotless lamb. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed or purchased with corruptible things as silver and gold, you can't buy your way to heaven. Nor from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers. That's referring to religion. You don't get to heaven by buying your way there. Riches won't do it, and religion won't do it. Here's how you go to heaven. Here's how you are redeemed. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That means Jesus had no sin. How was that possible? Well, he was virgin born. Being virgin born, Jesus was not contaminated with the sin, that inherited sin that is passed down to every human being since Adam. Jesus did not have that. The Bible says he became sin who knew no sin, so that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. The perfect, sinless, spotless, blameless Son of God, Jesus Christ, our spotless Passover lamb. And then we know, of course, that Jesus was our slain lamb. Isaiah chapter 53, what a great passage this is. Verse 4. The scripture says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." You say, "Well, I thought he was smitten by the Romans." No, God allowed all of this. He was smitten by the Father, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, that all the sins of humanity were piled upon the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Here it is. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. John talks about the slain lamb. In Revelation chapter 5, John has been looking for someone who could open the book and open the seals. And he says in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6, "I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came, the Lamb, and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne." That would be God the Son taking the book from God the Father. "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou, the Lamb, was slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Beloved, it's only by the Lamb. Verse 12 says, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Jesus Christ is the slain lamb. His blood was shed for you and I so that we could choose him and go to heaven. Number 4, Jesus is our saving lamb. He is our substitute lamb. Remember in Genesis chapter 22, as Abraham was told by God to take his son Isaac and sacrifice him. Isaac was just a young man at this time, and as they're heading toward this sacrifice area, Isaac makes an interesting observation. He says, "Dad, I notice there's wood and there's an altar and there's a place for fire and all, but Dad, where is the lamb?" And Abraham by faith said, "Son, God will provide himself a lamb." Now, you know how the rest of that story goes. As Abraham, the father, is getting ready to plunge a knife into the heart of his own son, Isaac, God says, "Hold it, Abraham. I have a substitute. I understand now. I see you have this faith." It's not that God didn't understand it, but God was just putting Abraham to the test. He said, "I see you have faith." And he said, "Abraham, over in that thicket, there's a ram, and I have him there. He's a substitute." And God had certainly provided a substitute. That lamb in the thicket represents our Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our substitute. He is the only one qualified to be our substitute for sin. Otherwise, you and I would have to face the wrath and judgment of God. You see, a person who refuses the Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has taken the wrath of God, the person who refuses that must face the wrath and judgment of God themselves and spend eternity in an awful place called hell. But you don't have to do that because you can accept the Passover lamb who took that for you. Number 5, Jesus is our shared lamb. I mentioned a while ago in Exodus chapter 12 there that it was shared with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, representing sorrow and repentance of sin that is a requirement for salvation. I'm afraid that we've made it so easy to believe today that people don't hear about repentance, but repentance is a requirement for salvation. Salvation is saying, "God, I'm not just sorry, but I repent. I turn of my mindset. I turn of that way, and I'm accepting you." That's repentance. But we're not to water it down. We're not to waste it. We're just to say, "Here it is. Here's the good news. It's the gospel. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ." And Jesus said, "Take it and share it." Mark 16 and verse 15 says, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It's not enough that we just take in the lamb for ourselves. That takes care of us, but we need to share it. Share the lamb with our friends. Share the lamb with our family. Share the lamb with those that need Jesus. And then lastly, Jesus is our sustaining lamb. just as the Hebrews were to take of the lamb, and then they were going to be moving on from there. That showed that that lamb was going to sustain them on their journey. Jesus sustains us. He sustains us in this life for certain. Psalm 55 and verse 22, this is a good one. He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. That means that he'll be with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He sustains us now, and thank God he sustains our salvation so that we're going to see him again. You see, the Christian life is just a journey. We're just a passing through, the old song says. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. This world is just a temporary place for you if you're a believer, because we have the best that is yet to come, and it's the sustaining Lamb that makes all of that possible. I'll share a little poem with you as I close this message. It's from a man named Marv Rosenthal, the founder of Zion's Hope Ministry. Brother Rosenthal is in heaven today, but he wrote a poem called Mary Had the Little Lamb, and here's how it goes. Mary had the little lamb who lived before his birth. Self-existent Son of God, from heaven he came to earth. Mary had the little lamb, obedient Son of God. Everywhere the Father led, his feet were sure to trod. Mary had the little lamb, crucified on the tree. The rejected Son of God, he died to set men free. Mary had the little lamb. Men placed him in the grave, thinking they were done with him, but to death he was no slave. Mary had the little lamb, ascended now is he. All work on earth is ended, our advocate to be. An advocate is a go-between. The only way we get to God is through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Passover Lamb. If you've never been saved, if you've never received the Lamb, the precious Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, you can do that today. You can pray this right where you're at. I don't know where you're listening to this. Maybe you're listening to the radio or the podcast, but wherever you are, pray something like this, and you must mean it with your heart, not just saying the words, but pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I know that you love me. I believe you died and shed your blood for me, and you rose again for me. And Jesus, I ask you today to forgive me. I repent of my sin, and I receive you as my Savior. According to the Scripture, you are born again. You are now part of the family of God. Isn't that good to know? So no matter how long you live in this world, you know that beyond this, you have heaven to look forward to, because you've made preparations, and it's all because of the Passover Lamb. Thank you so much for listening today. As I close the program, let me say I appreciate all of you who listen, pray for us, and also support us financially. We would not be able to go on the radio weekly and have a podcast ministry were it not for the faithful financial support of our Bible Truth partners. And if you want to be a part of that, every dime that's sent in goes directly back into our ministry. You can write to us at Bible Truth for Living, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Include your best gift. If you want to include a note or prayer request, that is wonderful too. But we thank you for supporting us and praying for us, and of course, listening as often as you can. Well, let me remind you to be in the Lord's house today. We have some special events coming up. May 12th is Mother's Day. May 19th will be Stand for Israel Day. We'll continue to remind you of those. And then our prayer walk in the park coming up on Saturday, June the 22nd. Hope you can take part in one or all of those if you can. Thank you so much for listening. I look forward to being with you again next time. Until then, this is Pastor Tim Reynolds saying, may God bless you, is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Bible Truth Podcast with your host pastors, Tim and Ron Reynolds. They can be contacted on the Mount Vernon Baptist Temple Facebook page, or you may send Pastor Tim an email to timrey1@hotmail.com. Or if you prefer, mail correspondence to Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Again, that's Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Thank you for listening.